Welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast.
What does the word disruptive mean to you?
It means going beyond the ordinary, going beyond the status quo.
Not thinking in the conventional way, not just sort of following the herd.
Disruptive means taking things up, you know?
Disruptive entrepreneur is somebody who sees the problem and embraces the problem with a new way.
Shake up and awakening.
Quality will take care of itself, and you'll go from being disruptive, but also profitable.
When you use your reservoir of talent, when you love what you do, then you disrupt.
Mix it up, change it up, and dominate.
And now, your host, 8 times best-selling author and double world record holder, Rob Moore.
Hello and welcome to the Disruptive Entrepreneur Podcast. It's producer Harry here. So we've got Grant Cardone back on the podcast again. This is his 3rd appearance on the show. Grant is all over the news right now. So he released a video a few days ago where he talked about going bankrupt and the world went crazy. So in this very podcast, Grant reveals all. He reveals the truth behind the bankruptcy. Also in this interview, he talks about his beef with Jordan Belfort. This was probably the most heated part of the interview, and I found it the most entertaining. I loved it. Also, Rob and Grant talk about the coronavirus and how it's just absolutely decimating everything in business. But not just that, how can you rise above it? How can you come through these uncertain times and come out winning? Grant is positive he will. Rob is positive he will. Both positive they'll overcome this. They're going to market through this. They're going to sell through this. And they reveal how they're going to do it in this episode. So final thing, we also have a YouTube channel, Rob Moore. You got to make sure you head over there and subscribe. We also release videos of our interviews just like this with Grant. So make sure you go over to Rob Moore. Go subscribe if you want to watch the video. So let's get straight into this. 2 entrepreneur heavyweights, one from the UK, Rob Moore, one from the USA, Grant Cardone. And remember, if you don't risk anything, you risk everything.
I am live with Mr. Grant Cardone. Grant, how are you?
Good, Rob. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, all right. So the world has changed.
Since what? When did I see you last? Back like, I don't know, October?
Yeah. You know what? We should have hugged then because I haven't touched a human being since.
Oh, you know, yeah, it's crazy, man. It's a crazy time for a lot of people, a lot of fear out there and a lot of people, including myself. Look, through this, people say, how you holding up? You know, You can't get away from the bad news. Every day, if you turn the TV on, you're going to see a company failing, an industry out of money. I mean, some of the biggest, greatest companies in the world, like running out of money, going through $900 million in a month.
Yeah.
Almost $1 billion in a month. People being laid off. We got 21 million people laid off in this country. I had to lay off some people.
How many?
We laid off 42 people.
Out of 3 weeks ago. Out of how many people?
Out of 156 at the time. 186 at the time.
Right.
So, that was not an economic decision. That was more of a resource decision, managing resources, because I was told that we would be going remote and would not have, we had just hired these people in January and February. And we had just come back from our growth conference from Vegas. I'm in Miami, and everybody had to get spread out. I'm like, we just hired people that we can't even acclimate, train, educate, or bring into our culture. Mm. So we furloughed them, gave them whatever, pay till the end of the month, and then said, hey, hang in there with us. We want to bring you back. So they haven't been terminated. We want to bring them back. That's our goal.
Yeah.
We just don't know how long we're going to be remote.
Yeah, so they just announced today in the UK an extra month. So basically all in, that's 4 months of furloughing, because we had 95 staff when it happened. We actually laid off 15, and it was like one of the worst things I've had to do in business. But then a week later, the furloughing came in, and so we put them immediately on furlough. Yeah. And we've probably furloughed.
And it hurts, you know. No, this is what people don't understand out there, because there's a lot of people like, you know, hating and harping and guys, yeah. Man, nobody hires somebody to get rid of them.
No.
Like that just doesn't make any sense. You know, you, you don't go buy a car and then say, I'm not going to use it. You don't go out and hire 42 people. We had to look at 400.
Yeah.
So the amount of time, energy, and effort, and we were like, we wanted these people. I want all these people back.
Yeah.
So, and look, that's 42 people. There's been 21 million people in America.
Wow.
That lost their jobs.
Have you ever seen anything like this since you've been in business?
Never.
Is this worse than the last recession?
I think it is, but they're all worse when you're going through them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You don't know when they're going to end. You don't know where it's going to go. The amount of uncertainty is the terrifying part.
Yeah.
And while people see, you know, they see me moving and shucking and doing my deal, but, you know, inside, man, everybody's scared. There's nobody not scared. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
You're scared for your family. You see people hurting. You see people scared. You can see it all over social media. You can see, if you go back and look at social media 4 weeks ago, people were happy showing off stuff. And now they're like hating on one another,
yeah,
pushing rumors and gossip. I see Tillman Fertitta, who owns the Rockets, 600 restaurants in America. He's a big $5 billion player here. He's worth $5 billion. Bought the Houston Rockets for $2 billion. Every one of his restaurants has been shut down. He furloughed 45,000 people yesterday. There's a chance this could take him down.
Yeah.
He's burning $2 million of cash a day. And I see people on the internet wishing, hoping that he goes down.
Yeah.
Like, it's like people, and I understand when I get scared, I also get reactive. You know, I want to fight. I want to punch somebody in the face, or I want to run from the scene. So, you know, I can act stupid too when I get scared, but then I'm like, wait a minute. Only way out of this, fear isn't going to get you out of this. You got to take logical, analytical steps. And some of those logical steps are like what you took in having to let furlough some people.
Mm. Yeah. So, Grant, there was this big rumor going around that you were going bust. And I want to come back to that in a minute. I do want to talk about that because actually in a few of my communities, it kicked off. And, yeah, you know, you had a lot of your fans there saying, come on. And then you had a few of your haters going, yeah, I hope it happens. We'll address that in a minute. But there's a couple of things first, if that's all right. So you spoke at one of my events, the Property Super Conference. It was great. And you have this mantra. You say it a lot. Cash is trash. Cash is trash. Cash is trash. Do you still think in the current situation, cash is trash?
100%. It's worth less today than it was before we printed $100 trillion.
Yeah.
Okay. We will print in America. We printed already 10 trillion. We'll go to 20 trillion. That means the debt in America will go from 22 trillion to $42 trillion. Anybody that doesn't understand printing doesn't understand inflation. Warren Buffett says, by the way, there's only three or four people on the planet that even understand inflation. It's so complicated. That is garbage.
Do you think right now?
It was garbage in October. It is garbage now. You can't buy anything today. What are you going to buy? Toilet paper?
Well, maybe, but pay all your bills while you can't earn.
Okay, good. You pay all your bills. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, but what are you doing? You're using cash to buy electricity. So what is it you wanted, the electricity or the cash? You want toilet paper? You got to give cash.
Yeah.
It's not worth anything, dude. The toilet paper is worth more than the money is.
It was on the lockdown.
You see what I'm saying? So this is what people are asking me. A lot of people are asking me this. Is cash trash? They think the underlying part of that question is, oh man, now you want a bunch of cash. No, actually what you want, cash will not, like the kind of real estate that I buy, it's not gonna buy real estate today. No matter how much money you have today, you can't go do a deal today because you need a seller that's willing to sell to do a deal.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got people, they saw the bankruptcy video, right? And they're like, I'll buy the jet for $7 million. I'm like, of course you will.
So tell us about that. Did you do that? Was that a fake video? Are you going bust? Are you selling your jet?
What do you think, Rob?
Oh, put me on the spot. I don't think you're going bust and I don't think you're selling your jet. but I don't know what was behind the video. And here's one of the reasons. By the way, thank you for taking your time to do this, Grant. I know you've got a lot on, and there's a lot of probably more important things you can do. So thanks for spending your time with me and my community here. We've got a lot on the live. But no, I didn't think there was any truth to it at all. And I don't judge until I go to Source. And obviously I'm here at Source. But I didn't know if the video was real or fake, if it was you. And if it was you, what was the purpose behind it? So can you clear that up?
Yeah, so what happened was there was a kid on the on an Instagram live. He's like, you're going to go busted because of all your debt. He doesn't even know how much debt I have. And I picked it up, made a joke about it, which, by the way, let me just say that at a time where people are going out of business, people are losing jobs, businesses are going under, it was very poor timing on my part. And I never for a second imagined anybody would think that I'm going to go bankrupt. Because what I said in there, if you go back and watch the video, I'm like, I'm sitting there chuckling to Jared. I'm like, yeah, hey guys, the rumor's true. I'm going bankrupt. And the property, 10 cents on the dollar. I'm going to go bankrupt. We're going to lose everything. The jet's for sale. The kids are for sale. The wife's for sale. The condo's for sale. Like, I rent the condo. Okay. I literally could not sell the apartments if I wanted to, because I would have to contact the lenders. You can't be in one position 21 days ago and file bankruptcy in 21 days. I mean, the whole thing to me was completely ludicrous, right? It's impossible to even do that quick. Never thought for a minute anybody would believe me. Jared's in the background saying, yeah, Grant, 10 cents on the dollar, everything, you know? And you can hear that, right? And then, dude, this thing just took off. You know, people picked it up and blah, blah, blah. So one, I want to apologize to anybody and everybody that thought that was done in poor taste. It was not done. It wasn't thought through. I wouldn't do it again.
Yeah.
And that being said, it just showed me people that said they were friends, how they didn't act like friends in that.
Yeah.
People that clearly weren't friends came out of the woodwork and showed themselves. And people that are friends like you are like, come on, man, I don't believe you're going out of business. You know, I had a guy and the other side of that was I had some major CEOs in the country that run $4 and $5 billion companies reach out to me. Hey, I don't believe this is true, man, but I would buy the jet. It got me in communication with them. One guy, three people hit me. One guy does about $2 billion in sales a year. And he's like, you are a marketing genius. I'm like, dude, let me tell you something. That was not a marketing plot.
Yeah, because some people said it was a PR stunt. And that's why I think where the poor taste came from. Can you clear that up? No.
That was not planned. It was not. My wife's upset with me about it. I'm like, baby, I didn't plan that. You got to tell me before you do something like that. I'm like, I didn't know I was going to do that. That just happened.
Yeah.
So, again, look, I don't think it's funny when a company goes bankrupt or somebody has to go bankrupt or a company goes down. I know what it takes to build a dream.
Yeah.
I know what it feels like when you lose one, because I remember what 2008 was for me. And I thought I was going to go bankrupt in 2008.
So can I just add something as well, Grant, because I think it's important to say. So in some of my communities, there were a few people that seemed to get some kind of satisfaction or pleasure at the thought of you or someone else like you going bust. And that really pissed me off. I think as business owners, surely we need to stand together more in this time and support each other. So a lot of people out there, when anyone tries to market something, they're.
If you love to travel like me and you understand the power in escaping the money for time exchange trap, but you just don't know how to do it, then building an Airbnb consultancy business could be exactly what you have been looking for. Right now in the UK, there is a completely untapped opportunity through helping struggling Airbnb hosts by turning around their underperforming properties and generating you huge commission payments in the process. We are going to teach you all of the tools and all of the techniques that we've learned over the last 5 years through building our very own multiple six-figure Airbnb business, arming you with everything that you need to swoop in and save the day. minimal startup costs, zero risk, and almost unlimited potential. Sound good? Welcome to the Airbnb Consultant. Contact us through any of the channels included in the studio notes to get the conversation started.
Having a go at business owners for trying to market and do their thing. You're not having a go at people for making food because food is their business. So why have a go? You know, I just think, why can't you just leave people alone to get on with their shit? And if you've got something to say, get your facts, find your facts, and then talk to the source. It honestly, not many things piss me off, but that pissed me off. And I'm glad to be able to speak to you about it.
People are scared right now. You know, that's the bottom line. When people are scared, when I'm scared, I do dumb stuff. And people are scared right now. And I understand that. I know that people are scared about their taking care of their families. They're scared about the virus. Even guys that say they're not scared about it, like, I'm like, I don't care about that virus. But dude, then every time somebody gets in front of me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to get it, you know?
Yeah.
There's misinformation everywhere. There's you know, you pull up anything on the internet, you're going to get conflicting data. People are scared, and they should be, and I understand that. And now's the time for leadership. Like, guys like me and you need to be real leaders. I need to be more sensitive of where people are at right now and understand this is a terrifying time for people and their families.
Mm. So you said earlier you had to furlough 40-odd out of 180-odd staff. How else has your business been affected, the training business and the fund?
Well, that's a number. Let me just take the training business. Our online business is actually crazy enough. It's up. I can't even explain it, except my guys are making almost four times the amount of outbound calls to do the same number of deals.
Yeah.
We're in much better communication with our customers than we were before this. So, I mean, we operate a little different here. So I got a culture that's very, very tight. One of the reasons we let go of the 42 people was not economic. It was to manage resources. It was so that we could collaborate our energy, consolidate our energy, and manage the people that we do have, knowing it was going to be more difficult and remote. So our outbound calls went up almost four times, double to four times on any given day. And it's actually allowed us to keep the same amount of productivity, actually a little higher than last year this time, mm-hmm. which again is surprising to me. Our real estate, the news around apartments, office, shopping centers in America, it's all mushed together. Single family homes, it's all mushed together as, oh, just terrible news. We are 11 points higher on our occupancy than the national average across 8,000 units. So look, right, as soon as this happened, I'm like, oh my God, am I going to need help on my debt? We don't need help. We're good. I suspended distributions to our investors, contacted them, told them we would. It's a precautionary thing. It's not absolutely necessary. It's just precautionary to make sure that we have the capital so that in case this thing goes 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, we have the capital and don't have to make a capital call to the investors. It's the prudent, conservative, smart thing to do. I announced that publicly. So I'm an open book. Like, the SEC's like, hey, you got to tell us before you do that. I said, no, I got to tell my investors first. I mean, really, I got to tell them, but you got to contact them as well. And so we've done that. And we set aside the distributions. They're sitting there in an account so that we can distribute to our investors as soon as we can. I suspended my management fee. So I suspended my salary here. Like, all the things that you should do in a contraction is, first, consolidate all your resources. Number two, hey, look at your assets and liabilities. What's a liability? Get rid of it if you can. Number three, properly assess all your assets and figure out, hey, do I need to reprice products? Do I need to reprice my leases? Do I need to call my customers that I have contracts with? Is there anywhere I can collect money that I'm worried about? And then go about expanding your business again. That's what I didn't know in 2008 that I know today.
Yeah.
And also accessing government programs, you know, like, now there's a whole new job. the business owner needs to study the government programs. We've already accessed three big programs and been involved in the first round of distributions from the government.
That's because I wanted to ask a few people in the community to ask you some questions. Paul Moore's asked, what's been your greatest failure and how did you bounce back?
My I've had so many failures, like, I don't even know where to start, you know, my haircut, I cut my own hair. That was a recent failure. clearly that didn't work out. Look, man, how I handle things a lot of times is wrong. You know, how I handle the public. I'm a very.
What's wrong about that?
Huh?
What's wrong about how you handle the public?
I'm very, I can be seen as insensitive, you know?
And what would you say to people who think you're insensitive?
You're actually an emotional person.
Like, you just met me on Instagram, or you met me for 1 minute. Like,
was that Jared in the background there?
Yeah.
Oh, because he said you're actually a sensitive person.
He is actually an emotional.
Yeah, I'm not going to go around showing people like how am I going to meet you in 1 minute on a 1 minute, 3 minute Instagram or YouTube and show my sensitive side. That's not what I'm doing at that moment.
Yeah.
I'm probably marketing something. I'm selling a concept, an idea, trying to get somebody to do something. What am I going to cry? So, you know, man, you get me around my kids. You get me around. I mean, I've had a lot of losses in my life, and I've been trying to make the most of my life since I was 10 years old, trying to do the best I can, trying to figure it out. You probably don't want to run around with tears in your eyes doing it.
Mm. Do you have a strategy for bouncing back? You know, if you've had so many failures, but do you have like?
Oh, 100%. I mean, I didn't have it until 12 years ago.
Right.
I mean, I've been waiting for this moment. If you go back and look at our last interview, watch how many times I mentioned what's happening right now.
Yeah.
I didn't know it'd be a virus. But I didn't know it would be this big. I said it would be bigger than 2008. I said it would be bigger, deeper, longer, and unimaginable. And that's happening right now. And I've been preparing for it. If you ever get a chance to interview Jared, like, you should just do an interview with Jared on how many times has Grant come to you and said something like this would happen and what our steps would be. So we have our steps in line. This month will probably be one of the most profitable months I've ever had in my business.
What are these steps? What are these things you had in place ready to go?
Number one, get to acceptance as fast as you can. There's five stages of loss. Do not waste any time in the first four. The first four are complete waste of time.
What are they?
It's number one is denial. It's not happening. Oh yeah, it is happening. Number two, you're going to go through some kind of anger about it. Now I'm into the conspiracy theory. Oh, it's a G5 or what is it called? 5G. 5G. It's 5G. It's Wuhan. I don't give a shit who it is. Okay. Personally, I don't care. I'm already into acceptance. So I'm not going to spend any time on that. Three is bargaining. It won't be that bad. It won't be that long. Daddy will help me, blah, 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 right? Four is depression. It's grief. I went through my grief cycle in the first 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had grief about this. I was like, I was that close to punching through. That close to punching through. Like, I've been the closest I've ever been in my career to actually, okay, I really made it now. And I got stopped. I had about $400 million worth of real estate under contract, and there were huge scores, and they got this whole thing killed them. Mm. So I thought I was going to buy $1 billion worth of real estate this year. And that's all off the table now.
Yeah.
So acceptance is where you develop a strategy with the help of another person.
Yeah.
And that, once you get to full acceptance of a drinking problem, a relationship problem, once you get to the place where you're like, I need help, and then ask for it, and then have a strategy, then you're in full acceptance. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we're at right now. Now we're in the strategy. I brought all my staff together. I'm just giving you what we did. Three Mondays ago, 21 days ago, pulled my executive staff together. This is what's going to happen. This is going to be ugly. It's going to be worse than you guys can imagine. I know that they're going to go through the four stages. They don't. Nobody wants to believe it.
Yeah.
So if you're a team leader, you cannot believe the worst is coming. You're a team leader. But if you're a boss, you need to prepare and accept the possibility of a worst case scenario.
Yeah.
So I ran through those, shared it with my staff, my executive staff, said, hey, we're going to take this as a worst case scenario. Here's our action plan. Consolidate our resources, meaning our people. Whoever we can manage, we will. Whoever we can't manage, we let go. They're not going to like it. You're not going to like it. It's going to hurt. Won't even make us look good. I'm going to look terrible for it, blah, blah, blah. Rich guy letting go of people. Then we're going to move into an action plan, and we're going to put in strict discipline on our people, expecting more from everyone. Yesterday I handed out, or Monday, what's today, Friday? Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday. Wednesday I handed out
$259,000
worth of commissions because I took those steps. So ship's taking on water, bro. What do? You don't blame anybody. You don't get pissed off at anybody. You don't deny that it's happening. You don't blame it on Wuhan. You grab a bucket.
So you're not into these conspiracy theories and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, yeah, they're entertaining, but I don't know what they're going to do for me. I mean, I just don't have time. I don't even know. Is it G5 or 5G? I don't know. Is it COVID-19 or COVID-17?
do you think it's insensitive to go on the charm offensive on your marketing at this time to double down and really aggressively market? A lot of people think it's insensitive that people should be respectful and sitting back and helping the key workers. What do you think about that?
Yeah. Donald Trump's doing 2 hours of media every day. So I don't need, what's my opinion? I'm going to be a leader through this. I'm not going to go hide. I'm not going to let COVID be the headlines. Our Google trends went up 2,400% in the last 48 hours. How do you do that? You guys got to market more right now, not less. I mean, your last name's Moore.
Yeah.
You got to market more right now, guys, not less. I mean, what are you thinking about? How do you make sense of less? Like, you do not want to be reasonable right now. You're reasonable. You're making, you're become, you're response. You need to increase responsibility and drop the reason. Oh my God, people are dying. Well, I didn't kill them. I didn't create the thing. Like, my goal to come out of this, I'm going to go from 8,000 apartments to 28,000. I'm going to go from 105 employees here to 1,000 employees. I can't expand if the boat goes down. I can't grow if I don't show up every day. If people forget about me because of COVID or Boris or Putin or Trump or nuclear or China, if they forget about you, you're done. Now's the time to market more, not less. Market a solution. Market some sanity. Toilet paper's winning, man. What is wrong with people, man? You're going broke. You don't go buy toilet paper. Did they buy toilet paper in the UK?
Fucking loads of it.
It's insanity, bro. It's insanity. I had a guy that worked for me. He's grabbing toilet paper. I'm like, bro, what are you grabbing toilet paper for?
A respiratory disease, virus, yeah.
Just in case. I'm like, yeah, that's not what you buy. You're in the woods and you don't have any money. Okay? You're back 100 years ago, living in the woods, taking care of your wife and your kids, and you're hungry. You're not looking for toilet paper. You're looking for dinner. Because they don't, because they haven't gone through the stages to acceptance, they end up confusing their priorities. And then spend money that they need on marketing for toilet paper to ply to wipe their ass. When you're broke, dude, you can figure out another way to wipe your ass. I remember being broke. I go to somebody else's bathroom. I'm like, I'm using their toilet paper. I mean, let's keep it real.
Yeah. 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 I'm with you all the way. I have exactly the same view. We've increased our marketing a lot. We've created 6 or 7 new online courses in no time. I was speaking to my wife and I said we had a live stream yesterday and we had a few tech issues in the morning, Grant, and it's just a bit frustrating. We were streaming out to a lot of people and my wife said to me, we've been doing events for 15 years and you've had 6 weeks and you've done 7 full day live streams and all these web classes. So it's pretty freaking good what you've done. You know, don't let a couple of tech issues get the better of you. And our business is up. You wouldn't believe it, but it is.
Yeah.
And I think when people are scared and when people have got time on their hands and they're bored, I think that's not the best combination for productivity. And that's probably why are you finding there's more hate online?
Suicide calls have spiked 800% in America. Hotlines. Overdoses increased spike by over 20%. This is going to show up online first.
Yeah.
100%. People want people to fail because people are failing and they're scared. Again, what do you do when you're scared? You act like an idiot. What do I do when I'm scared? In my entire life, when I'm scared, I say stuff that I don't mean. I say stuff that's insensitive. I say stuff that's stupid. So I shouldn't be surprised if other people do the same thing.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, when I see a guy worth $5 billion with 600 restaurants, with $2 billion the Houston Rockets, every company he has is shut down. He's bleeding. Man, I'm pulling for him. I'm not pulling against him. If he gets hurt, I get hurt. Mm. If the countries fail, you know, I know people pulling against Donald Trump. All right, because the other side wants to be right. Why pull against anybody right now? When one of us fails, everybody fails. And the same's true in the other way. You know, when one person succeeds, it can be the inspiration for me to succeed, or I could be envious. It's really just a choice.
I don't like seeing stuff online that hasn't got the facts. There's a lot of people leaking emotion. And there's one other thing in my space and communities that a lot of people have been talking about with you, Grant, and that was you did a video with Jordan Belfort. What happened there? How was that?
When did I do that, a year ago?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. He doesn't even have a business, man. I mean, what's the matter?
I like to put things straight. That's all. And you know, but he's talking about it a lot, isn't he? So
if you just check the records are he's a convicted criminal that went to prison that has zero negative $100 million negative net worth, and he ratted on his buddies. So that's
Why did you think
I shouldn't have gone on the podcast?
Well, I was going to say, why did you do it then?
Jared said, hey, you got this podcast to do.
I blame Jared. That's so easy.
Why not? You know, or Alan set it up. Alan set it up. Another guy that works for me. So, dude, Jordan Belfort is nobody. Jordan Belfort, is that his name? He promotes me. I mean, to be honest, he's just free advertising for me. What's his name?
The haters are out in force, Grant. How do you deal with it? How do you deal with the extra haters? I mean, you've always, in my opinion, got a very... What people don't understand about you is you smile more than anybody I know. And every time I hang out with you...
I'm always happy around you. Thank
you.
You make me happy. You make me smile.
And
I just smile like this all the time.
and you make me smile all the time. I think you've got a good handle on dealing with critics, haters, etc. They're out in force. There's a lot more of them at the moment saying a lot more shit. Is it bothering you more?
Well, hey, look, I would rather everybody loves me. You know, it's just not real. Let's look like I gave up on the popularity thing when I was in high school. So I'm like, you know, I don't want to be popular. I want to be successful. So I'm done with Belden liking me. Whatever, dude, like whatever. Like not everybody can like me, right? I need to like me. And yeah, I'd love for everybody to like me, but you know, there's Kent doesn't like me. Belden doesn't like me. All these guys, what's his name? Belden, whatever. So, you know what, you know, it is what it is. Like, I don't know what to do about it. Like I need to worry about my wife liking me and my kids liking me and my employees believing in me. I really don't even care if my employees like me. I just want them to believe in me and us be successful together. And then they look up later and like, you know, I used to not like you, but I'm really a better person now because of you. So again, that's what I do a terrible job at. I kind of gave up in high school on people liking me. And that was 47 years ago.
So you don't read anything and it doesn't piss you off?
Yeah, sometimes it does. Sometimes I'm like, God damn, I'm tired of hearing that shit, you know? Like it hurts me that people think that I just let people go for my company and I don't, that hurts, but it's not true. I mean, when I'm not emotional about it, then I'm like, I didn't let people go because I wanted to.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm the one that wanted 200 employees. So the thing that pisses me off is that I don't have 2,000, that I don't have 45,000 people to let go. Why don't I have businesses, and I know you relate to this, why don't I have companies in 154 countries, everywhere there is coronavirus, I should have a business. The coronavirus is in more countries than me and you have been. Okay, goddamn coronavirus didn't even exist 3 months ago. It's been to more places than me and Rob Moore combined. You know, so that's what hurts me more than anything. So underneath that, hearing all these other guys, you know, what I need to focus on is how I've let me down.
This growth, the desire for growth that you have, that a lot of entrepreneurs have, is that just always there and you're always on it? Is it not ever tiring? Do you sometimes not just want to sit down and appreciate what you've done and what you've got?
Yeah, what's tiring is staying where I am. You know, people are like, oh, Grant Cardone's he's got $1 billion worth of debt. I'd like to have 10 billion right now. I wish I had 50 billion. I don't know why I'm not being invited to the damn, to the White House. That's what pisses me off. You guys, were there people worried about whether Boo Boo likes me or talks about me, what he says. I'm wondering why Donald Trump hadn't called me and said, hey, you need to get over here. I know you can help us. People, again, like, should I worry about what Joseph or Jordan, Jolton, Bilton thinks about me? Or should I be like, hey, how do I actually start influencing and making a difference where I can, rather than worrying about whether somebody likes me or not? Or I mean, what is somebody that doesn't like me? What is that really? That's really just admiration in reverse. I was telling Brian Rose this in London Real. So these people that hate me, man, they don't really hate me. It's just a little screwed up vibration version of love. They really love me. They want my attention. They want to hug it out with me. They probably want to be me. They're envious, man. Now, if I truly hate something because it's bad for a lot of people, that's different than just hating on a person. Mm. Like I hate drugs. I think drugs are bad for people. It's not me hating on John.
You're not thinking of changing 10X to 5X because you've had to contract?
Oh, no, definitely not. This is the time, man. This is the time. I'm telling you something. 2008 made me who I am today. 12 years ago, I became Grant Cardone that I am today. And 2020, if the results are anything like the last 12 years, it's going to be unbelievable. This is going to be the biggest rebirth. It's going to be a rebirth. The millionaires and billionaires that we've ever seen on this planet.
Yeah.
Some people are going to get hurt because they're going to get lost in rumors and gossip and garbage. But the people that say, hey, I'm shifting right now. I'm going to pivot right now. I'm going to go out. I'm going to turn a crisis into the rest of my life. I'm going to pivot and I'm going to use all this energy and shift into the next stage of my life and mature and really become somebody. It's going to make a lot of superstars. And I want to help people. I want to help people gain. I want them to be able to access the knowledge I have from 08. Because I made a lot of mistakes there, man. Mm. I learned a lot in the last 12 years. I want to help people with that information, how they can transition and pivot. So this crisis, this contraction becomes their expansion.
We'll finish on this one, Grant. I know you've got lots to do. I want to thank you a lot for investing your time here. What's the virus taught you? What's the biggest one or two things it's taught you? Something you didn't know before?
Yeah, I think I had the virus in January. I mean, if you're talking about the health virus, the health part of the virus, I think I had it in January, third week of January. I got hit hard. 2 days, I was completely down. It interrupted a project after the 10X Growth Conference. I mean, I wish you'd have been at the 10X Growth Conference.
We were trying our best to get there. Yeah, sorry. Next time.
You know what they say, trying's lying.
All right, then. Didn't make it happen. Make it happen next time.
I was so proud of that event, okay? So grateful that for whatever powers of the universe allowed us to get that in. It was probably the last large entrepreneur conference held on planet Earth before the world shut down. And then it interrupted a project that I'm on that people will know about later. But when I left Growth Conference, I went straight into this project that I was on for 3 weeks when it got interrupted. And it's going to be an amazing thing that people see later on. But, you know, what I've learned from this is, look, man, you always need to be waiting. You need to have a bit of a skeptical eye, but not see everything as a scam. Because there's a big difference. Okay. I'm extremely critical, highly critical person. I have a bit of a waiting for the other shoe to fall, drop all the time. And it used to be I was waiting for it to fall because I was scared. Now it's so I can lean into it. And in 3 weeks, I have done more in 3 weeks, like you were talking about, than I did in the entire 12 months after 2008.
Yeah.
So this time I know how to respond. And this time I want to help and be a leader this time. I want to be a leader and an example. I already got mine. I got mine. I'm good. We're going to keep the jet. Might even trade up right now. I'm going to buy more apartments in this cycle. People need a place to rent. I know I'm in the right investment product. I know the online education business is going to explode right now. Rental properties that we buy are going to explode. They're going to be phenomenal investments. And I want to expand my whatever my little businesses are. I want to expand my little empire. And I'm in a position now to help other people do the same thing in other industries. And I know this virus will pass. It will be over with. And on the other side of it, people are going to be better. People are going to be bigger. Or they're going to be worse and they're going to be smaller. Mm. And it's up to the individual. Everybody can turn this into an opportunity if they elect to.
Grant, really grateful for you taking your time. It's great to see you. Thank you.
Good to see you, brother. God bless you. Be great.
Thanks a lot.